And it's great to see you all. When you're down in church, you don't quite get to see so many people. You get to hear you, but not see you. But it's great that you're all with us tonight. Well, on the 9th of December 1965, Charlie Brown's Christmas aired in the United States. In this animated television special, Charlie Brown finds himself depressed. Now, to cheer him up, Lucy, a friend of his, suggests he direct a neighbourhood Christmas play. Well, despite his best efforts, he's simply ignored. And then he's mocked by his peers. Charlie Brown declares, "I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about." Now, Charlie Brown got me thinking. Do we understand what Christmas is all about? Do we as Christians even know what Christmas is all about? Now, I'm pretty sure if you stop people on the street, you'd get varied answers. I'm sure some would say it's about family, friends and good food. Others might say it's about the tinsel and the turkey, the giving of the gifts. Some may even mention peace on earth, goodwill, and then, and probably only then, the birth of Jesus. Sadly, in our society, Jesus is down the pecking order. He too is ignored and mocked. Christmas has become much more about commercialism than about Christ. Now, by associating Christmas with Jesus, we may feel that we've got it all figured out. But do we really have an idea what Christmas is all about? Well, before we look at our passage, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, as we come together now to study your word, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us with our understanding of what Christmas is really all about. I pray, Lord, that you'll open up our eyes so that we can see, our ears so that we can hear, our hearts that we may receive you, Lord. I pray that you'll guide us through our time together now. I pray, Lord, too, that my words may be honouring to you. Amen. Well, Paul's letters to Titus may not be typically associated with Christmas, but Titus 2, verse 11, actually displays what the heart of Christmas really is. This amazing verse in Paul's letter to Titus gives us the gospel in a nutshell. In it, we see the wonderful grace of God demonstrated in Jesus, our Saviour. Titus 2, verse 11 reads, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people." Notice that the verse here, verse 11, begins with the word "for," which basically means "because." It starts this way because this verse is the very motivation of the letter. Paul writes this brilliant letter instructing Titus to finish off the work he started. Titus was a missionary that Paul left in Crete to continue his pastoral work. Paul had begun making sure that these Cretan believers had sound teaching. Sound teaching which they could apply to their lives. Paul also taught all the Christian believers in Crete how to live good, godly lives. Now, Paul's letters to Titus should motivate us. It should motivate every believer. It should motivate us to live a life for the gospel that makes much of Jesus. It should motivate us to live in a way that honours Jesus Christ. And the reason we can live this way is because the grace of God has appeared. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Let's consider the very first part of verse 11 now. What is the grace of God? Well, I often hear the meaning of grace explained through grace as an acronym. In this acronym, the letters of grace stand for God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, the word grace can be translated to mean favour, blessing, or kindness. Now, we can all extend grace to others. We can all show favour and kindness. But when the word grace is used in connection with God, it is more powerful. Grace is God choosing to bless us rather than curse us as our sin deserves. God's grace comes in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's grace personified. It's the most glorious display of grace and love that there has ever been. And this display of grace was demonstrated in and through Jesus on the cross. It was there that God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Jesus took all our blame so that we could become righteous. He took all our shame so that we could reach heaven. If that's not evidence enough of grace, then I don't know what is. It's grace, and it's grace that comes in and through Jesus. It's through Jesus that salvation comes. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, grace is not an idea, not just a thought or even a force. It's a person. The grace of God here is Jesus. Therefore, it is Jesus who brings salvation. Verse 11 continues, for the grace of God that brings salvation. That's our second point tonight. Establish that the grace of God here is the appearance of Jesus. Can you see it through the appearance of Jesus, which brings salvation? This is Christmas. Jesus appeared because he came to earth. John 1:14 reads, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord, it says, the word became flesh. He came down from heaven. He was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. He lived the perfect sinless life, a life lived for God's glory. He lived the life that we should be living. And then he took the punishment for our sins upon himself. Jesus freed his people from the penalty of sin. He gave himself for us. He was nailed to our cross. He took the wrath of God, which we deserve. That is why Jesus came. Christ is tied directly to the cross. Whilst we should associate Christmas with the birth of Jesus Christ, we should also associate Christmas with the gracious acts of God in Christ too. God, in his grace, intervened by sending Jesus to save us from our sin. God's grace is the means of salvation. God spared no expense. When it comes to Christmas, we are often all the same. No expense is spared. Christmas costs a lot. For some people, a large lot. People can and do go overboard. I only need to look outside for evidence. We see so many houses draped in lights. We see reindeer on the roof. We see inflatable Santas or snowmen out on the lawns. Santa stop here signs. Then we see houses battling it in contests for who has the best lights. Now you're probably thinking, Ben, don't be so boring. But I'm not alone. Charlie Brown, you see, he thought the same when he saw Snoopy carrying decorations. You see, back in Charlie Brown's Christmas, he watched in disbelief as Snoopy set about decorating his doghouse. As Charlie Brown asks, what's going on here? Snoopy handed him a flyer. Charlie Brown answers, well, what's this? And the flyer read, find the true meaning of Christmas. Win money, money, money. Spectacular, super, colossal, neighborhood Christmas, lights and display contest. Charlie Brown, light and display contest. Oh no, my own dog gone commercial. I can't stand it. Ugh. Charlie Brown is then seen walking away from Snoopy in shame as he continued his search to find out what Christmas is all about. And Christmas is hugely commercial. No expense is spared at Christmas. Despite the difficulties of this year, I don't think it would be any different. The average family spends upward of £500 each year on presents. Well, thankfully, God spared no expense with his gift to the world. Salvation is God's Christmas gift to the whole world, to everyone. For God has given us his all. He has given us his very self. He has given us his son. The gift of God is a gift of grace. God is not simply a God of doing good. He is a gracious God. His giving is totally undeserved. The message of God's grace, which Paul wrote about, was revolutionary. In a culture dominated by Greek philosophy, this message was radical. Greek philosophers taught that the love for the unloved or the unlovable was just not the way. Aristotle once said, "Only he who is deserving of love can be loved." But in God, in his grace, loved us even while we were still sinners. Romans 5, verse 8 reads, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It's no wonder then that Paul speaks of God lavishing his grace upon us. Come with me if you want to. Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8. I'll read them anyway. But these verses read, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." The grace of God brings salvation, a salvation which appeared to all. This is our third point this evening. Again, look at verse 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all people." Praise God, the light has come. Several weeks ago, the majority of North Wingfield suffered a power cut. I'm hoping it was the majority, or it was maybe just my street. But as Ruth and I sat on our one afternoon off watching the television, everything fell dark and silent. And as we pondered what to do, well, the thought turned to finding some candles. Well, between us, we managed to scratch about and find a total of three. As the light faded outside, we decided to light one of the candles. And it was incredible to see what a difference just one little candle light made. Without the light, we'd have been able to find our way about. And in that context, Paul writes, "The grace of God has appeared." And it's similar to that which Zechariah proclaims in Luke 1, verses 78 to 79. And it reads, "By the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Zechariah's picture here is of a world in darkness, complete darkness. The people here have lost their sense of direction. It's a world without purpose, without joy, and without peace. Zechariah's world is also our world. Our world is shrouded in darkness. Now, people may celebrate Christmas with music, merriment, and masses of food. Now, depending on the tier, they may celebrate in pubs with pints and maybe a Scotch egg. They may celebrate in clubs, in the streets, and, well, wherever. But their celebrations are hollow and meaningless. Meaningless without Christ. Without Christ, we are lost and doomed to a godless eternity. Against such a backdrop, Paul declares the grace of God has appeared. At a particular moment in history, God in his grace entered our world. He entered our world in the person of his son to dispel the darkness. Paul says here that the grace of God, the person and work of Jesus Christ, from Christmas to the cross, all the way to the resurrection and ascension that brings salvation, appeared to all people. Jesus frees us from the penalty of sin and makes peace between us and God. But Paul doesn't just say appeared to us, but appeared to all people. Now, by all people, it does not mean every person without exception. This does not mean that everyone will be saved from the penalty of sin. Regardless of whether or not you've repented of your sin, regardless of whether or not you've trusted in Jesus Christ, by declaring all people, Paul means all types of people. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. See, God wants us to have a happy Christmas in that deepest sense of the phrase. For God has us all in view when his saving grace appeared. In the immediate context of our text, Paul has been speaking to slaves. He may have in mind that God's grace is for all, whatever our social standing. He may have it in mind that God's grace is for all, whatever our backgrounds. Paul wrote in his letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, which read, "This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all men, all people, to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." We must give thanks that there are no limits to the saving grace of God. God is mighty to save. Jesus has appeared. Christmas is true and real. And Jesus will have for himself people from every nation and every generation. Jesus, he didn't come, live, die, and rise again to make salvation possible, but he came to truly bring salvation to all of his people throughout all time. He makes it happen. He purchased our redemption. He paid it all. When we think of the Christmas story, we read of the angel and Joseph. We read that the angel assures Joseph that Mary's pregnancy is of God. Matthew 1, verse 21. "So she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Notice the angel didn't say Jesus might save, or even maybe save. The angel declares that Jesus will save his people from their sins. Well, the love of God that stooped in Bethlehem and embraced us all at Calvary is able to deal with the worst of sinners. Jesus will save his people from their sins. Of that, there is no doubt. But the question is, are you one of his people? Because if not, then God awaits your response. Grace of God requires a response. God has taken the initiative and has loved us despite our sinful ways. He's loved us beyond all measure, loved us far more than we deserve. We must respond by giving ourselves back to him in love and gratitude. We must respond in faith, saying yes to God and no to our sinful ways. You see, grace means all of him for me. Faith means all of me for him. But as well as saying yes to God and his grace, we must also say no. No to the deceitfulness and sinful nature of this world and its values. We cannot accept Jesus as our Savior without making him love or Lord of our lives. The grace of God has appeared not only to bring us salvation, but to help and teach us. Look at verse 12 of Titus 2. It, the grace of God, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. The Christian life is to be lived for the glory of God and the joy of people. We are to give ourselves over to loving and serving others. We are to give ourselves over to living upright and godly lives. We are to give ourselves over to the glory of Christ. The gift of God is the gift of grace. It is a free gift to us. Now, whilst grace may be free, it's certainly never cheap. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipline, a grace without the cross. God has lavished his grace upon us. We need to accept his offer. We need to respond to its call on our life. The grace of God requires a response. What are you waiting for? As we draw to a close this evening, you may remember, well, I started tonight with an illustration from Charlie Brown's Christmas. After becoming frustrated with the commercialism of Christmas, after struggling to find the happiness he craved despite various attempts, after buying a tree that wasn't good enough, he was ridiculed. It was then Charlie Brown declared, "I guess I don't really know what Christmas is all about." And following this announcement, he turns to his dear friend Linus and shouts, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" Linus answers, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." And Linus walks out onto the stage where they'd been practicing for their Christmas play. And Linus then says the following words. And there, we're in the same country, shepherds abiding the field, keeping their watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said upon them, "For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And they shall bring a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of a heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Having finished his speech, Linus walks off to greet Charlie once again before saying, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." Well, Linus, to a degree, is right. Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus, but it should also bring to mind why Jesus was born in the first place. There's a reason why the angel spoke to the shepherds on Christmas. The angel brought to them the good news of great joy, the good news of great joy that leads to glory to God in the highest. As Christians, we should live for the glory of God and the joy of people. We are to give ourselves to loving and serving both God and others. This verse in Titus 11 should be our motivation for such a life. The grace of God that brings salvation is directly linked to Christmas. It started in a manger. It led to the cross, and it will end in the triumphant return of Jesus, our Saviour. The great goal of Christmas is the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is really all about, Charlie Brown. The grace of God appeared in the person and work of Jesus Christ so that God would be magnified in and through Christ and his people. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. Amen.